This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Come out of the closet, all you atheists and agnostics and heathens and infidels. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your out of the closet, friendly neighborhood atheist. Oh, en español, so ateo amable. This is the weekend of November 13th and 14th, 2010. Free Thought Radio is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin. Airs also in Atlanta, Anchorage, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Monterey, California, and podcasting throughout the universe.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics, freethinkers, and we work for separation of church and state, and that's probably where we fill a really unique niche. We're not just sitting around talking about what's an atheist versus an agnostic. We're also working very hard to keep religion out of government.
We can talk about that someday if you want.
Yes, but we like to be practical, and we have two guests today. We are showcasing the variety of free thought here in the Midwest. We'll be speaking in just a few minutes with William Van Druten, who is coordinator of the Lake Superior Freethinkers, one of FFRF's newest chapters in Duluth, Minnesota.
And we'll be talking about free thought, atheism in Mexico. And I'll be going this week to Mexico City for the first ever annual National Mexican Conference.
And so we'll be talking with one of the coordinators of that on the second half of Free Thought Radio. How do you say his name, Dan?
Gerardo Quijada.
And then we'll also be, in a few minutes, playing FFRF's famous Moment of Bedlam. And that's what we do at our national convention's non-prayer breakfast, which we just held in Madison, Wisconsin. So it's kind of fun. Stay tuned for that. Now, in terms of just a quick news update, you may have seen that FFRF was mentioned in Laurie Goodstein's write-up about atheism coming out of the closet, atheism advertising in the New York Times last week. And we were glad to see there was a little plug for our Out of the Closet campaign, and Butterfly McQueen got mentioned, and Barbara Wright, who's a famous restaurateur here in Madison, Wisconsin, so that was kind of fun.
And she called our signs very inviting.
Yes.
You know, which was very nice, very friendly signs that we have up around the country.
And so then, Dan, before we get to our first guest, last week you were on the road. Where have you come from?
Last week I was in Idaho and Utah. I spoke on four different campuses for four different free thought student clubs with the Secular Student Alliance. One in Pocatello, a brand new club in Pocatello, Idaho, with a very lively bunch of students. Another one in Twin Falls, at College of Southern Idaho. And that was fun because their advisor, the professor who organizes and helps the students organize, is also a music professor. And he and I did some jazz, and we played John Lennon's Imagine on it.
We should have got that queued up for the show.
Yeah, he plays saxophone. We can play some of it. We might talk to him someday. He's got a really good story.
And then the third
Brent
campus.
Brent Jensen's his name. Then I went to Boise, Idaho, my first time to Boise. Another very lively, intelligent group of students who were excited to be fighting back on campus with all these religious groups. Then I drove 6 hours the next day from Boise down to Salt Lake City for the student group there at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City.
So that's really promising that free thought is so prominent in a place like Idaho and Utah,
yeah,
and now Duluth. And we have on the phone with us William Van Druten, who's a longtime FFRF member. He's a retired psychiatrist. He was born and grew up in San Francisco. He attended Stanford University and then Stanford Medical School. He is married, and all four children are freethinkers. So thanks for heading one of FFRF's newest chapters and joining us on Free Thought Radio, Bill.
Hello, yes. And thank you for having me. I'd like to correct, I'm not the current leader. I founded the Lake Superior Freethinkers, and at the time I called myself the coagulator. But now Bill Guzzi and Maxine Caserta are co-leaders.
So what, did they kick you out? Was there some...
Well, no, I decided it was my time to go on after 7 years. You know, I think it's a good thing for organizations, and it was... I didn't want to wait for certain hints and then finally the boot, but anyway.
Well, it's a sign of strength that an organization can outlast its founder as the acting, you know, director.
I
so
think
good
so,
for you.
Yeah.
Well, and I know these people, and I stayed in one of Bill's cabins there on the lake.
Oh, yeah,
they're,
sure
they're just
you did.
Great, yeah, wonderful yeah. people. But you're kind of the legend, you know. You're kind of the
oh,
original troublemaker, I guess, that everybody admires.
That's yes, I like that.
Well, before we talk about what Lake Superior Freethinkers has done and is doing, I think it would be interesting if you would share with listeners how you sort of said you've become a freethinker because of your training from the Cub Scouts. So how could that kindle your rejection of religion?
Yes. Well, actually, there's one thing before Cub Scouts that was interesting. A little girl who lived across the street and was in our playgroom group, Eileen Farley. She came home from somewhere she went to Sunday mornings and told the rest of us that we were all going to hell, which was not a very nice place. And not only that, but our parents were going there too, which was pretty surprising because my parents really didn't say anything about religion, yes, plus or no, and it was a non-entity, and I had never given it much thought. So this was, I must have been about 7 or 8, I'm thinking.
Were you scared? Were you scared at what she said?
No, I was puzzled more than anything, because gee whiz. I mean, she didn't make it very friendly.
Yeah, it seems like there's some people who can't wait to share the good news that you're going to be damned forever.
Yeah, and... So I did ask my parents, and they said, oh, well, Bill, that's what some people think. But they never explained it much or told me it was baloney or anything. And then the odd thing was that Eileen maybe played with us once more, and then even though she lived across the street, I never saw her again. The family didn't move. We never saw the mother and father. So I never knew what happened to Eileen Farley, and I hope maybe she's out there listening to you. And if Eileen Farley from Idora Street, San Francisco, please contact me.
Maybe anyway. She raptured or something. Maybe she.
Oh, golly, possibly.
So how did the Cub Scouts figure into
Cub
your
Scouts.
Freethinking
well, then,
evolution?
In those days, 9 to 12 was Cub Scouts, and they would package us up in the short pants, blue suit, little thing, yellow neckerchief, very nice, and take us off to church maybe once a month, and then to a different church once a month, and then to a different. And we never went to any Jewish churches or Islam places. Of course, they hadn't been invented yet. But anyway, I did a foolish thing. I started listening to the sermons and to the hymns and all the stuff that they were talking about, and it just didn't make any sense. And I discovered that the one contradicted the other, and I figured one of them was lying, or one of the two or three were lying. And later, of course, I found out they were all lying.
Well, that's your problem, Bill. You're not supposed to think about it. You're just supposed to go and...
Yes, where were you then?
You're supposed to be mumbling the words and... Smiling, but not.
So, wouldn't have been any help. Would
so when did you consider that you, did you ever formally, as a teenager, call yourself an agnostic or atheist? Did you realize what you were?
No, we didn't know those words.
You just knew you didn't believe.
It didn't make any sense to me, and I pretty much dismissed it. That's about it.
So, well, we're heading for a break. Now, Bill, you came to the FFRF's 33rd annual convention here in Madison, Wisconsin, a couple weekends ago, didn't you?
Yeah, sure.
And you had a good time?
Oh, fine.
Were you there at the non-prayer breakfast?
Sure.
Well, we are going to relive it. We have queued up the moment of bedlam. We want to share it with other listeners because it is kind of fun.
And maybe you can hear yourself in this background noise.
Yeah, I'm and then sure. Dan kind of explains what is the moment of bedlam. So why don't we listen to that?
Welcome to the non-prayer breakfast of the 33rd Annual Convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are going to consecrate this morning's meal. I hope you haven't started eating yet. We're going to consecrate the meal as we usually do, not with a moment of silence, not with an opening prayer. How many times have you gone to these meetings and suddenly somebody stands up and gives a prayer? And what do you do? You just look around, right? Well, today is your chance to fight back. This is a non-prayer breakfast, and instead of a moment of silence, we will have our traditional moment of bedlam. Think of a way to make some noise, to consecrate your food. Are you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, 0.
So that's it. That's all we do. And then we let people eat in peace. We don't preach at them. We don't talk at them while they're eating their breakfast. They get to socialize. That's Moment of Bedlam is my mother's little joke. And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor here with Dan Barker. We're talking with a Duluth activist, William Van Druten, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Dr. Lydia Hartuni from Iowa City, Iowa, and I'm on Free Thought Radio. Cool.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And that's just a little bit of Aaron Copland. That's his Prairie Journal. Aaron Copland was born on November the 14th. It would be his 110th birthday tomorrow. And he was born in the year 1900. Aaron Copland was a prolific American composer, also a very open non-believer and very open. Well, he had to come out of two closets as an open non-believer and an openly gay man, and look how much the world has been enriched by the work and the, if I can borrow a word, inspiration of this non-believer. I'm Dan Barker, and I'm here for Free Thought Radio with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we'll play a little more of Copland at the end of the program in tribute to him, and we'll be also speaking on the second half of Free Thought Radio with a Mexican atheist activist, and now we have on the phone with us from Duluth, Minnesota, a longtime FFRF member and Free Thought activist William Van Druten, who founded what has become one of FFRF's newest chapters, the Lake Superior Freethinkers, that was founded back in 1997 and this year became a chapter. And he's a retired psychiatrist. And we were talking with you about your Free Thought Awakening, Bill. And I understand your separation of church and state awakening came in Duluth with mergers with the hospital that you were working at when it merged with a Catholic hospital.
Yes, if people will go to the lsfreethinkers.org website, they can learn all about how we blocked Catholicism from two hospitals here.
Wow.
I didn't realize
you were successful in both ventures.
Yes.
And what's the webpage? LS, like Lake Superior, lsfreethinkers.org.
Org. But we also got rid of the Ten Commandments on a city hall with the ACLU.
Now,
so I hope, yeah.
Tell us about that because that's great victory.
Oh, we've been had our eye on the commandments for a long time. ACLU of Minnesota We were plaintiffs with them in a lawsuit and had the thing yanked out to the wailing and crying and gnashing of teeth, which earned me the honor of a death threat from some kind person out there in Radioland.
Because you took away the commandment that says, thou shalt not kill, they want to kill you.
So when was, you got to refresh my memory, Bill, when was that lawsuit brought?
Oh, good grief. I don't
know. In the 90s?
Late 90s or early 2000s.
And was it in federal court?
It was. I believe, wait a minute, it might have been state, I can't remember. Gee, I'm not a legal guy.
Were you one of the plaintiffs, though? You were?
Yeah.
And
we never had to go to court. The city gave up.
Oh, it was settled.
Yeah.
So maybe that was in the early 2000s, because that's when we were getting a lot of Ten Commandments removed around the country, too. And so the
It was a lovely movie, if you like fiction.
We played some of that.
The voice of God is always a deep bass, man.
It's a little long and ridiculous for my taste, but sometimes we put some of it on for chuckles.
Hey, can I say quickly how much I love the convention? But you know what your greatest thing is? That if you just go to the bar or to any of the restaurants and see somebody with the FFRF sign around their neck, they make great conversationalists, every one, and they're so friendly.
That's a big part of the convention. It's the speakers and the program are fun, but then just hanging out at the table or in the hallway meeting friends like you and other freethinkers from around the country.
Yes.
Well, and then I just want to finish this story about the Ten Commandments. Was it an Eagles monument?
Yeah.
Do you
remember Elks was, or Eagles or
something?
It was
probably Eagles, probably placed in the 50s or 60s?
I think so.
And where was it, Bill?
On the corner of City Hall lawn.
Ah. And where did it end up getting moved to private property?
Yes, it did.
Well, that's appropriate then. So
it was great. The newspaper got pictures of the crane ripping it out of the ground and all. And everybody's sad and, oh, well.
I was going to say, we only have about 2 or 3 minutes left here, but what other activities is the chapter, the Lake Superior Freethinkers, doing in the future? I remember I spoke to you, was it about a year ago or earlier this year?
Yeah, you were up.
You had a huge group, friendly people.
Yeah.
Although a local priest came and talked to me for a while right in front of everybody.
Yes. William Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very bright guy. Mm-hmm. And he came and spoke to us shortly after. And he said, well, you know, a lot of the Bible is just the Bible is just myth. Huh. But he wouldn't fold on Jesus and the resurrection or the Virgin.
But I bet he's not saying that to his congregation either.
I don't know. Yeah, he might. He's a brash enough guy. I don't know, though.
So what else does the Lake Superior Freethinkers do? They meet once a month?
Well, first of all, it's a friendship group. We don't have any dues. It's voluntary. If you come, you're a member. And if you want to come to the planning meetings, you're on the Executive Grand Secret Council. Hmm. And that's where all the important things are done. And then we meet in between as well, speakers. August Berkshire was up last week, I think it was.
And you do also write a lot of letters. I know I see you've had a pretty good publishing track.
Oh, yeah. And, people, if they go to the website, go to Bill's Corner and go to my, you have to kind of search for it, Bill's video, Bill Van Druten's video. It's the total life story of me.
And it's a page long, right?
And you also put up a billboard. The new things with FFRF.
Yeah.
And it was a digital billboard, so that was the first for Duluth.
Yeah, but you know, the odd thing in our town, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't any furor. I think we've kind of worn them down.
You wrote an article that we reprinted in Freethought Today in June of this year. It was really funny, tongue-in-cheek, finding a foolproof flight to salvation. And you are quite a prolific writer.
I've got lots of wonderful stuff. That's what I say anyway.
Well,
say, Bill, you're full of baloney.
We appreciate so much your activism and joining us with a little taste of...
Oh, I'm very proud of FFRF.
of Minnesota activism.
And
who's up next, Dan?
Well, first, the Lake Superior Freethinkers is lsfreethinkers.org. Thank you, Bill. After the break, we're going to talk to an organizer in the Mexican Atheist Organization and talk about the first ever national Freethought Atheist Conference of Mexico. So stay tuned. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Freethought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Freethought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Freethought Radio. Ask for a sample issue of Freethought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Freethought Radio.
No vengo del mono, no,
no, no.
Ni de la coronja,
ja, ja, ja.
La cigüeña no me trajo,
oh, oh, oh.
Pues, ¿quién me hizo a mí?
Fue mi
no tengo
Dios.
Nada de mamá.
Fue mi
ni
Dios.
Ni tengo chimpancé de
mi papá.
Fue mi Dios quien me hizo a mí. Me hizo a ti, me hizo a mí.
Fue mi Dios.
Los científicos.
Fue mi Dios.
Fueron creados por mi Dios.
Fue mi Dios quien me hizo a mí.
And that's Manuel Bonilla singing a song that he and I co-wrote back when I was a Christian missionary and minister. And that's me playing the piano. That's my arrangement. And you probably heard my voice in the background in Spanish. I was saying, even all the scientists came from God, and I didn't come from a chimpanzee or a gorilla.
And it was an anti-evolution song.
Anti-evolution song when I was a believer. And I spent years across the country and in Mexico. And Manuel Bonilla is from Mexico, and that introduces the theme of today's show and the guest that we have on the phone with us from Mexico City. His name is Gerardo Romero Quijada, or I think he goes by the nickname of Ramas, and he is the principal organizer of the first ever annual National Mexican Atheist Conference that is taking place very soon here in the month of November. And he was born in Mexico City in a Catholic home. Ramas, do I call you Ramas or Gerardo?
You can call me either way, Dan.
Oh.
No problem.
No.
You can call me anything you want.
Ramas, okay, we can call you Ramas. So you were born in a Catholic home, but then you studied in Canada, which is why you know some English. So tell us a little bit about your story and your beliefs and why you changed your mind and why you're doing what you're doing today.
Well, first of all, Dan, it's awesome to be on Freethought Radio. I've been a fan for over 5 years now of the show, so thanks for taking your time to actually hear what I can say.
We have listeners in Mexico, huh?
Okay, great.
Wow.
Well, I'm one of them.
Wow.
Okay. So, there's not really a lot to talk about. Yes, I was born in a Catholic family. But my parents weren't that religious when I was growing up. They were actually very liberal. I remember my father was usually came home and brought books and dictionaries and stuff like that. And he usually said, go ahead, read, study, take pride and knowledge and stuff. So I was very, very open mind when I was growing up. Still, I was devout Catholic. We went to Mass every Sunday. And it's some kind of a process called compartmentalization, that you actually have, confronting ideas split on your brain. So you never really think about them, in tandem or together.
So did you pray to God? Were you actually talking?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. So whenever people say to me that, no, you weren't a real Christian, you know about talking to God, I say, well, I was, I'm thinking I was a very good Catholic. most, better than most down here. You know, most people down here are Catholic by tradition. So I spoke to God. I went to Mass every Sunday. I knew about my Bible. But I really just didn't have, you know, the time to confront my beliefs and why I believed what I believed.
Did you pray to the saints and La Virgen de Guadalupe and all that?
Well, I wasn't never really a virgin guy. I was always tried to pray directly to God. I usually said, "Oh my God, please help me with this," or "Oh my God, please try to have this thing go better," or something like that. And I actually prayed for friends or whatever. I actually, something that was quite an anecdote, is that I couldn't go up to any exam or examination in university, still in university, without, you know, having a blessing or something like that. So it was very weird.
Yeah, but you did all the studying and all the work, but you gave
Yeah, actually it was weird because God was never around when I didn't study.
So what happened?
I studied, I got good grades, but I didn't study, I would get failed.
So you got a degree in engineering and electronics. So what happened with your faith? You were in Canada when you...
Yeah. I got a bachelor degree in computer science. But the thing is, it was an opportunity to come study abroad at the end of my bachelor studies. So I went over to Canada. I was almost 7 months in Carleton University. Actually, it was pretty cool because
Where's
when
that?
I was there, I found out that it was the university that a lot of movie stars kind of actually gone there.
Where is Carleton?
Sorry?
Where is that in Canada?
In Ottawa.
Ottawa,
Canada. Yeah. Yeah, it's Carleton Jewing in Canada. So I was there. The weird thing was that I had to take one course there that was supposed to be in ethical philosophy, but applied to profession, to my profession itself. But it wasn't open. So eventually they said, well, all we have is an advanced course, a graduate course in philosophy. So there you had an engineer taking a course in philosophy. And I got a fee. So I didn't do that bad.
So an engineer takes a class in philosophy. And then you became what? You decided you were an atheist at that time?
No. I just came to realize that it was a lot of stuff that I didn't know about basic philosophy, basic world thinking. And when I was there, you at some point have a lot of time to spare because, well, you're away from home and friends, and maybe you party, really party maybe a couple of months. And then going into the semester, I had a lot of time to think about. And these new ideas about, well, for example, perfectionism by Jiddu Krishnamurti or welfareism and a bunch of stuff that actually got me thinking about, well, why is evil in the world, what I think, the way I think. But the thing that really changed me was that when I started working down here in Mexico, when I got back maybe 6 or 7 months later, I got a lot of time after doing my job in the evenings because I got a job that actually required me to start working after 3 in the afternoon and get out real late.
Right after siesta.
So I went over to my first atheist by going through a Catholic portal. I eventually arrived to my first atheist sites. And it was just there that I just got some doubts that, okay, this is not right, or why is that there? And I started looking through more and more stuff and getting more and more doubts and trying to get stuff to reinforce my faith. I actually believed less and less, eventually having to call myself an agnostic.
And now you're one of the main organizers of the first Mexican Atheist Conference. As far as we know, the first national one ever. Is that true?
Yeah, that one's coming up, and, well, it's just that maybe 3 years ago I started going into activism, doing small events down here in Mexico, getting together with more atheists here, because as I was telling you, I was an agnostic, eventually come to a realization, and I declare myself an atheist, an explicit atheist.
Now, I'm Annie Lergeller here with Dan Barker, and we're talking with the main organizer of the upcoming First National Mexican Atheist Conference. Before we go out of the show, Dan, I think you owe our listeners an explanation for that anti-evolution Mexican song that we started the show with. You never really completed the thought there.
Did you hear that, Ramos, that song we started?
Yeah, it was.
Where he's making
No vengo del mono. I don't come from a monkey.
He's making fun. It was a children's song written for children to make fun of the idea of evolution. So, Dan, when you got invited to go down to Mexico City, you were very excited because you spent 2 years in total as a evangelical minister
trying to convert Catholics into Christians.
So now you're using this platform in Mexico City to do what?
Well, I'm going to go down there, and Ramos has graciously agreed to help me. I'm going to go down and ask for forgiveness, confess my sin of being a missionary, of being an evangelist.
And preaching ignorance to children.
Yeah, and well, to everybody down there. And I sincerely hope that after I talk, you atheists of Mexico will give me absolution for my sins of preaching nonsense to your country.
Well, then, at least you got not only my forgiveness, but my admiration. Actually, yeah. It was your book.
Better, isn't it? Well, I'm Annie Lergeller with Dan Barker for Freethought Radio, and we are talking with Gerardo Romero Quijada, and he will be right back after the break.
My name's Ed Clayton from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm on Freethought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
¿Cuántos en el mundo están? No le importa tu color, a Jesús el Salvador.
Okay, enough of that.
Enough of that, okay. That's obviously Jesus Loves the Little Children in Spanish, and that's an arrangement that I made for that singer is Manuel Bonilla, and that's me playing the piano.
How old were you, Dan?
I was probably about 30 at the time. And Manuel and I made, I don't know,
30.
At least a dozen children's albums in Spanish for Christians. And they were sung all over the radio, and children do these arrangements.
Well, and look how you were targeting children.
Yeah, I know. Well, we thought it was great. It was a way to spread the good news of the gospel.
So I'm Annie Lergeller here with Dan Barker, and we are talking with a Mexican guest because of the upcoming First Mexican Atheist Conference.
And we're talking with Gerardo Romero Quijada, or his nickname is Ramas, R-A-M-A-S. And during the break, Ramos, you were telling us that you, in preparation for this conference that's coming up, the first Mexican Atheist Conference, you were just on national television. How was that?
Yeah, just came yesterday. One of our friends that actually covered the event for one of the newspapers, he actually got me a call yesterday and said, okay, I got you a radio interview, but it actually turned out to be a TV, national TV live interview.
Wow.
I've got like 9 minutes today to talk about the event.
So when I see you, I can have your autograph?
No, actually, it should be the other way around then. I'm first in line for you to sign my book.
So let me ask you, are there more like you in the country? What is the state of atheism now in Mexico? Or do you know enough about it to comment in general?
Well, I can tell you if there are many people like me. I'm sure there are many atheists. We have a lot of people down in the community where we spawn online. The thing is, we're trying to get something done outside cyberspace. It's to get things done and to do a change for our society. So, I don't know. I just feel like a passion to do something. And when I found my atheism, And the joy about science and the joy of being alive, and this is our only life that we have, to seize the time. Well, I'm actually a very big video game fan. I like to play a lot of video games. now most of the time I'm doing this stuff.
Yeah,
change. So it gets you real. I don't know if it's calling you happy or realized or whatever, but it's great. And I hope we get more people. That's why we're doing these events.
So I know you have several. You're importing several speakers from America, but you have also Mexican activists on the roster. I know you have a woman. You want to tell us who some of the speakers are?
Sure. For the woman we have, her name is Estrella Burgos Ruiz. She's a science promoter. She has a couple of publications. She actually is the editor-in-chief for a magazine that's called Como Ves. It's something like, how did you see about science? We have Martin Bonfil Olivera. He's actually a very good friend. He also is a science promoter. He has a column in a newspaper about science. We have a nuclear physicist, Dr. Arturo Gomez Camacho. He works at the local Institute for nuclear research down here in Mexico. He also, he has a degree in philosophy. Weird. He's an explicit atheist too. Who else? We have Leopoldo Hernandez Lara. He's a writer. He actually contacted me through the Atheist Alliance website because, well, I haven't told you, I was grateful that last year Atheist Alliance International asked me to join them and work with them as a director of international communications, trying to get, the borders of language and try to ease communication between our countries and organizations. So he actually contacted me through there, and he has a lot of Bible study. He's been studying the Bible and the old Jewish texts for 25 years. Wow. That's one very good book. You actually can buy that book in Amazon in English. The book is called Unmasking the Bible.
Unmasking the Bible.
Dan, isn't your book in Spanish? Isn't Godless in Spanish?
No, my book, Losing Faith in Faith, is in Spanish on our website if someone wants to. Perdí la fe en la fe.
Yeah, perdiendo la fe en la fe.
Yeah, that's.
So you can read it for free and in Spanish on our website. Now, I have a question for you, Ramos.
Go ahead.
Mexico has a very venerable old history of celebrating secularism. I mean, at one time the government chased the Catholic Church out. Now it's so religion-drenched. Is there going to be a revival of secularism in Mexico?
Well, we're actually trying to do something like that, okay? In the Constitution, there's separation of church and state. The thing is, with Mexico, if you look at our history, at least from 19th century history, since the independence back in 1821, when actually independence was consummated, we have a lot of trouble getting together, our government, our progress. And if you look at every time we had an issue, an upheaval, a war or something inside the country, the Catholic Church was behind it. It was always the Catholic Church. And they always started in some kind of a battle or something when any people in the government tried to do reforms and change, going to try to take away, the policies and everything that they had.
That sounds familiar to us. That sounds familiar to our country.
But the Catholic Church has had a heavier hand in Mexico.
Yeah, it was very big. For example, the Catholic Church owned over 65% of all land in Mexico.
It does now?
No, that's not the case.
It owned 65% of the land, and that's when the government got rid of it.
They actually controlled the education. At that point, middle 19th century, we had over 90% people that didn't know how to write and read, and they controlled the education. So they kept a lot of people ignorant.
Now, what about the situation for women? Is abortion legal in Mexico?
It just became legal a couple of years in the city. Mexico City is actually very progressive. Uh-huh. That's why we're starting there.
You have gay marriage, right?
Sorry? Yeah, we are getting married.
In Mexico City.
Just yesterday, they approved at the Congress, they approved that Now the partners can give social security to each one. They can tell, okay, if I die or something, I can leave everything to my partner. That is, now I'm legally married to them. They just a couple months before, you weren't able to tell. Even
but if you
live... were married, you couldn't name your partner as your social security partner.
But if you live outside Mexico City, then no. Abortion is not available?
No, actually, it's getting very, very hard for people, actually, because after Mexico City passed on abortion laws, a lot of the other states started passing anti-abortion, very, very hard anti-abortion laws. So it's like the right is behind them, you know, the extreme right, handled by Catholic church officials, you know, lobbying there to get more hard sentences and laws to prevent abortion.
Well, that's too bad. We are out of time. Can you give us the website of your group?
Of your group, yeah, it's www.ateosmexicanos.org. That's ateosmexicanos.org. www.
Well, thank you so much, and Dan's going to be meeting you
soon. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the conference, and I really do hope you guys will forgive me of my sins of spreading the bad news of the gospel down in your country.
Oh, no. Sorry, Sam. You're not only forgiven, you're a brother, and you were a big inspiration for me.
Well, thank you.
Awesome. It's been great to be here.
We've been speaking with Gerardo Romero Quijada, one of the principal organizers and leaders of the first ever Mexican Atheist Conference, taking place this month in Mexico City. We're going out with a little bit of Aaron Copland, whose birthday is tomorrow, November the 14th. We want to thank Gerardo. We want to thank our producer and engineer, Brian Terrani, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper. Go to our webpage, ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information by phoning 1-800-335-4021. Support our broadcasts, our podcasts, our litigation, our outreach, and tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting. We'll be speaking with a blasphemous teenager next week, so don't miss that show.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday